Well, good morning. Yes, no, it's good afternoon. Good afternoon to all. And I hope you're all having a pleasant Sabbath day. Yesterday was quite warm, and as Ben said, he thought he would like to say he brought it up with him. I was wishing it stayed away from what I was doing yesterday. By 1 o'clock, I was wore out from the heat. So, working hard, and that's just the way life is. Used to that cold weather, and when it gets so warm, it seems like it just drains you. But maybe not all of you. Maybe it's my age. Whatever. I did want to say one thing about Alvin Grove. He had an operation a few weeks ago. I didn't know how to get John's attention or how to say it exactly, but he did have operation, and they found out it was cancerous in his bladder, and so he is taking chemotherapy. So I'm sure he would like to have your prayers. So keep that in mind. And of course, his wife fell a couple weeks ago. And, well, it's quite disheartening, maybe the word is, to see them get out of the car and both have to use walkers to get into church. She's improving, and he seems to be in good spirits, so maybe you could keep them in your prayers as well. Our world doesn't have much peace. There's wars all over. And if you look through our history of mankind, there have been wars, more wars than there have been times of peace. You can think of times when the people from the Muslims came up into Europe. There was wars then. In the Roman times, there was many wars. And if you go back farther, there was wars. Our world doesn't have much peace, even today. We're fighting in Iraq, and they've stopped fighting, but they're really not stopped fighting. They're blowing each other up and having terrorist bombs go off. There's no peace there. In Afghanistan, it seems like they've never had peace all through their history. Every nation that comes in to help them, or whatever you want to call their doings, maybe control them or whatever, they don't have peace very long. They always go back and there seems to be fighting, contentions, and so forth. So the world doesn't have much peace. There are pockets, though, where there is peace. Where you live, it's probably pretty peaceful, isn't it? You don't see a lot of murders in your towns. Maybe you do where you live. I don't see them in my towns. I don't hear a lot about them. But it's kind of like pockets, and there's peace in different areas where we live. And we are certainly very blessed to live in this nation. Much of mankind doesn't feel the way we do, though. There's a lot of pain and suffering going on. They lack food, and they lack shelter, and they lack just the normalities of what we have in our lives each day. The God of this world continually likes to make strife, doesn't he? He'd love to see the whole world annihilate itself from the face of the earth. Can you find peace? Do you have peace? Can you be a peacemaker? Those are big words, big statements. Are you helping others to have peace? Where does your peace come from? Where does peace come from? Is there things that rule that a person must follow, rules that a person must follow so they can have peace? Let's study to find out. I took God's word and went through this study, and the more I studied, the more I see it's a tall order to have peace. We can't even get along with ourselves sometimes, can we? In our own families. I can say that in my family there's that way. And we don't always get along. You always find out the way people really are, if you have peace or not, is when someone dies and there's an inheritance. Then you find out what your brothers and sisters are truly all about. Let's go to Matthew 5 and verse 9. Matthew 5 and verse 9. And I was going through these Beatitudes and I came to this one. It says in Matthew 5 and verse 9, it states, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Notice the next part of that verse. "For they shall be called sons of God." God puts high priority on being a peacemaker, doesn't he? You will be sons of God. We want to be sons of God. We've been working all our lives at it, haven't we? We want to be God's sons. We've been working and striving to overcome and develop the character. So how comes we don't have peace? How comes I don't always have peace? Why don't I have peace of mind? Why am I not always a peacemaker? Are you and I a peacemaker? Am I peaceful? Are you peaceful? Let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. I went to bed last night and thought, I fell asleep pretty early. And I was sitting on the couch sleeping away, and I looked over at my wife, she was sleeping away too. So we were made a nice couple there on the couch sleeping. And I looked at my children, they were doing all kinds of things, you know, they still had energy. Heidi went to bed pretty early, she had gotten a cold. And I discovered this morning when I woke up, I have a cold too. So I must have picked up Heidi's cold. So hopefully I won't have to blow my nose too often up here. It's one of those days if I didn't know if I should have stayed home or came and gave this sermon. But I thought, there's no way John's going to have a chance to get his sermon around to give one today. Not with all his family in this house. And that's always a wonderful thing to have your family at home. But let's go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20 says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be vessels for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." So if we develop the character God wants us selling, we can be useful to God, our master. Verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, whose those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." So that's what we're to follow. And if you want to turn to Galatians 5:22, we notice in Galatians 5:22, it makes a statement about God's fruits of His Spirit. We all have this scripture memorized from heart by heart. We learned it long ago when we were young. Some of us are still young and are learning, but I learned it a long time ago. Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, "The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." So peace, and then continues on, tells you all the rest. But one of God's fruits of His Spirit is peace. Today, let's look at what God tells us, where peace comes from, how we can become peacemakers in definitely an unpeaceful world. The first point I have is following God's way brings peace. That's pretty simple, and I will look at some scriptures that shows that that's so. And we'll go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And we'll start in verse 161. Psalm 119, 161. I was thinking, last week I was at York, and when I came to this scripture, I looked out at Mr. Grove. He always sits in the front row. We have to put the speaker right in front of him so he can hear. You know, he has hearing trouble since he's a young person. And I look at him, and I was going pretty fast, and I remember saying, "My father told me to slow down so he can understand what I'm saying. Don't go so fast. I have time to turn to scriptures when he gets the CD." I looked at Mr. Grove, and Mr. Grove was still flipping his Bible, and I thought, well, it's probably true. I better slow down. Now, you young people back there are probably saying, why don't you hurry up and get going? Well, I'm talking to all kinds of people here. Some are old. Some are in the middle age. Some are your parents who are getting older, middle aged. And some of you are young children. And you have quicker, everything goes faster when you're quick, when you're young. But you don't go that way as you get older. So I think of Mr. Grove, I think of slowing down, and my father. Anyhow, in Psalms 119, 161, it says, "Princes persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word." Saying this about God. "I rejoice at your words. And one who finds great treasure, I hate and abhor lying, but I love your law." He loved his law. "Seven times a day I praise you." He was praising him, giving him prayers. Or whatever. He was giving him prayers to his God. To you, because of your righteous judgment. And then notice verse 165. "Great peace have those who love your law." I don't think there's a simpler way to make that quite clear. He says, great peace has those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation. And he was referring to Jesus Christ. And I do your commandments. So he's telling him what he had to do. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So he's telling us there that we need to follow God's way. And if this was David writing this, he was telling us that's how he did it. He had to follow God's way. And he loved those God's way exceedingly. And in verse 168, he says, for all my ways are before you. God sees everything you do. So he knows what's what. He knows what you're doing. Let's go to Psalm 37, verse 37. Psalm 37, verse 37. In Psalm 37 and verse 37, it states, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. And notice the second part of that, it says, for the future of that man is peace. So the blameless man, how does he become blameless? Well, through Jesus Christ and his laws and his ways, all those things add together, his commandments and so forth, that's how a man becomes blameless. And he observes and is upright. He does things properly. Does it what God wants. He tells us how we're to live, and it brings peace. God tells us how to live, and that brings peace. Now let's go to Colossians 3 and verse 13. Colossians 3 and verse 13. You know, we can't be a peacemaker if we don't have peace. If we aren't peaceful ourselves, we can't bring peace being a peacemaker to others. Colossians 3 and verse 15. It says, and this is by putting on the new man, I'm breaking into the thought. But we'll start in verse 13. It says, bear with one another. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. So he tells us how we're to live, what we're to do when there's troubles. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And Paul talks a lot more about that. And it says in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So verse 13 tells us there's a way of life. And 14 and 15 tells us God's way brings peace. But it brings the peace of God to you. It is by the following of God's rules. He actually gives you the peace if you follow his rules. So that's where peace comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't come necessarily from us. It doesn't come from us. I didn't say that right. It doesn't come from us. It comes from God. But we have to do something. We have to follow his rules. Let's go to the second point. When God answers you your prayers, it brings peace. Now, you can all think of the prayers that God has answered in your life. And after you go through that particular trial or whatever, it brings you peace. Let's go to Psalms 3 and verse 4. Psalms 3 and verse 4. Psalms 3 and verse 4. It states, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. So he was praying. God heard him, and he answered it. I lay down and slept. I awoke for the Lord sustains me. Did you ever hear people saying, oh, I can't sleep? And I should have said, I've been that way. I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? Well, usually my mind is racing. And am I at peace? No, usually not. Usually I'm all worried about the next day and how I'm going to do this complicated whatever part of the job. Or other people get worried about whatever happened in their life or how they're going to explain something to somebody, whatever's important, what's ever happening in their life, and they have to be, it's coming up tomorrow. So they sit there and they think. But they really aren't at peace. They don't have peace at that time. And we've all done that, I'm sure. It seems like the older I get, the more I do it. But anyhow, it says, I lay down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustains me. Verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who has set themselves against me all around. He says, I won't be scared. God's with me. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. In verse 8, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. God answers our prayers, doesn't he? He gives us comfort. We know God is listening to us because he answers our prayers. Our fears leave us when we trust God, and he helps us, and we have peace, and we sleep soundly. You know, when I was young, I never had trouble sleeping. Of course, I worked enough that I was so tired, and I didn't have to worry about thinking about anything else. I was too tired and went to sleep. Sometimes I still am that way, but not always. I'll give you an example of answered prayers. You can have your many things in your life that answered prayers. I got up one morning, and Tim and I were going to work on a roof. And we were going to paint the tin roof with aluminum roof coating. I prayed that morning, oh God, protect us from harm like you'd always do. You're up high, and aluminum roof coating is very slippy. If you step on, it's faster than roller skates. There's no stopping. You just, you're off the roof. Well, we worked the whole day. It was in about 3 o'clock or something. I don't remember. A lady pulled up in a car, and she wanted some work done. She wanted her roof coated. Well, we were working our way down the roof. We had it all painted. We were coming towards the ladder, and Tim was above me, and we should have had good communication, which we would have had, but the lady interrupted my thoughts. I had painted below him because I was working my way back so he could come over and work his way over to the ladder too. And I was just going to say to him, I painted you behind you. Take your time and work your way to the ladder. We're trying to make it go as quickly as possible. Well, the lady came, and she hollered, I have a place down the road. Can you help me? And I turned around and said, I was standing on the roof, turned down, looked at the road, and I said to her, oh, yes, we can help. About that time, I see Tim. I turn around, I see Tim. He stepped in the wet stuff, and he was flying. He had his feet off the edge. One foot was off the edge of the roof. It reminded me of another thing, but we won't go into that. But he has one foot off of the edge of the roof, and he got himself stopped on the snow guards. And the lady goes, I think you maybe should have a rope up there. But how can you have a rope when you're concluding? How would you get the rope off? It'd have to be over the roof and getting all smeared up in the process. But anyhow, what all I did was lack of communication. I didn't talk to him. I didn't tell him where it was. He wasn't hurt. God answered our prayers, and everything went on. Do you have many stories that you can tell? I can tell one about Vincent doing the same thing, but a different thing, but he fell off the roof a couple times in one day. Finally, I told him to stay down, and he did. But God intervenes in our lives, doesn't he? And he does protect us, and we ask for protection, and he does. And sometimes it's not the obvious. He does things in different ways, driving cars or whatever. Let's go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4 and verse 6. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So that's what we're to do. We're not supposed to be anxious. We're supposed to ask God, and he will hear our prayers. In verse 7, notice what they write. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he's telling us, don't worry. Tell God your troubles. Ask for his intervention. And talk to him. And he'll be there. And God says he'll give us the peace and the security. And we know that gives us peace and security, knowing God as angels are watching out for us each day. So you can think of many occasions, but the second point was when God answers your prayers, it brings peace. It gives you satisfaction. It brings peace. Gives peace. The third point, is God brings peace by his protection for us. In Psalms 4 and verse 1, let's go to Psalms 4 and verse 1. Psalms 4 and verse 1. Notice what it states here. Hear me when I call, O God, on my righteousness. So he's praying to him. You have relieved me in my distress, and have mercy on me and hear my prayers. He's praying. Verse 2. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. So there's a stipulation who he will hear, those that are godly. But he also calls individuals and opens their minds to the truth. He hears them as well. He's working with them. Verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Some of my best thoughts, and probably yours are too, is when you're meditating on your bed, thinking about different things about God. Seems like the getting more blood to your head or something, it works better. All right, let's verse 5. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And the example is, you can see the example of Jesus Christ. And says, put your trust in the eternal. Verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart more than the seasons that there is grain and wine increase. So you know those good years when you plant your gardens or whatever and you have plenty to eat? There's more gladness with God than there is in those plountiful years. And then notice verse 8. It says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. God is the one that gives us safety. He provides everything for us. He gives us all. Peace comes because God lets us dwell in safety. He protects us and he answers our prayers. So, I'm sorry. I jumped out of my notes there. I did tell you the third point already, right? God brings peace by his protecting for us. I did that. Okay, so I'm at the right place. All right, so he does protect us. He was willing to protect us. And you could have used many other things in your life where God has intervened and protected you. You can think of that. The fourth point is, if you want to be at peace, we must seek it and we must work at it. So we must seek it and work at it. Let's turn to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 8. It says in Psalm 34 and verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There's no want to those who fear him. There's no want. Nothing to worry about. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger. But those who seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. So if you're seeking and striving, God says he'll take care of all your needs. Verse 11. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? How many want that? We all want to live to be old men and women. We want to see good. We all want that. It says, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil, he says, and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We have to seek it, and we have to pursue after it. So, the way we live and how we act, we must to do good to others, and we must seek peace and pursue it. We must seek it and pursue it. It takes effort on my part, and it takes effort on your part. But God gives us the peace. But we must seek it. We must ask him for it. So we must seek it. And First Peter 3 and verse 9. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 9 it says, not returning evil for evil or rallying for rallying, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. So we're not to return evil for evil. Verse 10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching. And his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. But in verse 11 it says we must let him seek peace and pursue it. We must work at it. God wants us to work at it, and we're to seek it with our whole heart and being. The fifth point is we can only have peace because of Christ's sacrifice. It's totally impossible for us as human beings to have it. The only way to have peace is through Christ's sacrifice. We'll look at just one scripture here. There's numerous ones, but let's look in Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1 and 2. You know, we would be nothing without that sacrifice, and we all know that. Without him paying a penalty for our sins, we would never have true peace. We would never have peace of mind, and we wouldn't have that inner peace that we do have at times. Sometimes all the time, sometimes just some of the time. Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It only comes through his sacrifice. Verse 2, though through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So he paid the penalty for our sins, and we don't have to carry those penalties around with us. And that truly brings us peace, doesn't it? All right, we'll review those few points that I made about peace. It says we have to follow God's way to bring peace. Answered prayer brings peace. That's number two. Number three, God protects us, and that brings us peace. And verse four, or the fourth one was, we must seek peace. We must strive to work at it, and we must seek it. And the fifth one is we can only have peace because God gave us a gift, his sacrifice, and paid for our sins. Now we understood that, we have came to the conclusion and understood that peace comes from God. We all know that now. We probably knew it before. We have to keep his laws. We have to talk to him in prayer. We must submit to his will. God gives us peace if we do those things. Now that we understand that, what peace is and where it comes from, we understand that. How can we be peacemakers? Because we seem to have that knowledge, but how is it that we can be peacemakers? Well, Romans 14, verse 19, Paul gives us some insight to it. Romans 14, verse 19. Romans 14 and 19, it says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another. A peacemaker edifies others. And how do you do that? Well, you think of others. You care for others. You teach others God's way if you're able, by your example and by your words. Because we're all living examples of the truth, are we not? So to be a peacemaker and edify others, we must think of others, we must care for others, and we must teach others God's way where we're able. But a lot of times it's by example, sometimes by the words we speak, but a lot of times it is by our examples. Let's go to Romans 12 to look at some more ways to be a peacemaker. Romans 12 and verse 9. Just back a page. Romans 12 and verse 9. It states, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another or showing them respect. Verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's, he's telling us how to live. Verse 12. Rejoice in the hope, patient in tribulations when they come, and trials, continuing steadfast in prayer. He's telling us what to do, those attributes that we should be doing. Distributing to the needy. Those are things that's how you have peace with other people. Distributing to the needy of the saints and given to hospitality. Verse 14. Bless those who persecute you and bless and do not curse. Verse 15 it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We must learn to be a peacemaker. We have to have compassion for other people. We must see the hurt they're going through. When someone dies, their mates and loved ones are suffering. We must have compassion on those individuals. We must have compassion when we see other things happen. Sicknesses happen to people. And if you can feel like they're feeling or ask God to help you, then you'll have compassion for them. And that's what he's telling us. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, like at a wedding, we rejoice. And weep with those who weep. When trials come to others, we should weep with them. Be of the same mind towards one another. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. He's telling you how to be a peacemaker. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regards for good things in the sight of men. And then notice verse 18. He says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. That's quite... You could sit there with those few verses and do sermons on each of those points. There's a lot there. Verse 12 and 13, it says, depends where we are in life. I'll read that. It says, rejoice in hope and patient in tribulation. And then verse 13, it says, distribute to the needy of the saints and give hospitality. That depends where you are in life. When I was a young man, I remember working for a lady in the church. She was a widow, and she had a hard time. Her name was Ruth. I think it was Rainier. Ruth Rainier. I was about 15. We came down, we had a work party. Her bathroom was falling apart, her toilet was about in the basement. She didn't have any money to fix it. But I gave my time. Now I'm not trying to brag, that's just what you could do when you were young. And it was such a reward to her, she was so enthused when you were done with it. She was so thankful, she encouraged you and thanked you, and she tried to even make a meal, which was very nice. People came and helped, but she definitely was very, very thankful. It was a real eye-opener to me. It was very, very rewarding, but she had nothing. Well, when I was young, I had my strength and I had my know-how, but I had no money. So that's what you do when you're young. You help with your hands as much as you can. When you get old, now that's a big variation from young to old, but as you get old and you make more money, depending where you are in life, and if you have, you should give and help people as much as you can. You should take care of them. Look and see where they need help and help them if you can. But if you can't do that, you and I can always pray to God and ask Him to help them. We should give encouraging words to others in difficult times. It's all about where you are in life. We all grow in spiritual maturity and we all grow physically in maturity. And so when you're young, you have your youth. When you're old, you might not have any energy, but you still can have pray to God for help, and encouraging words go a long, long way. You can't live, in verse 18 it says, if possible, as much as depend on you, live peaceably with all men. I can't live peaceably with all men if I don't have compassion for them. How can I live peaceably with them? I don't care what they do. I have no compassion. I don't care if they go out there and get run over by a car or whatever. I have no compassion for them. I can't live peaceably with them. They won't think I'm a very peaceful person. I might do nasty things to them. Or you could do as well. It says you can't live peaceably with all. You cannot live peaceably with all men if we don't have compassion for them. If we don't take care of them, if we don't follow the golden rule, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, you can't be a peacemaker. Now let's read verse 19 and 21. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine.'" That's God's place. "I will repay, saith the Lord." Verse 20. "Therefore, if your enemies are hungry, feed him." We can do that. We can help him and feed him. "If he's thirsty, give him a drink. If he, in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome evil by overcoming evil." I said that wrong. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." It's talking about the golden rule. That's how we're to become a peacemaker. But we first must have to be have the peace that God gives us. We must be at peace ourselves. That's what the first part of this, the first 5 points were about. Let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." So that's what Paul told Timothy. Then notice verse 2, it says, "For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." So it says we're to be praying for all men. We should have supplications for them and giving thanks for all men. It says in verse 2, it says to be a peacemaker, we must think of others and pray for them and ask God to help them. Pray for the leaders of the land that they may make wise decisions and that God's will be done and that we can have peace. I mean, you can see in history where numerous places there wasn't peace in Germany in World War II because the leader was terrible. If you didn't do what he said, he took you out and got rid of you. That wasn't very much peace. Well, that's why Paul writes here that we should be praying for them that they don't make those rulers get into office. God takes care of us. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7 tells us who is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7. Isaiah 9 and verse 6 through 7. Guess that doesn't look so good when you're in Psalms. Isaiah 9 verse 6 through 7 says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." So Christ is the Prince of Peace. We just need to follow his example. He taught us, you can read the accounts of his life in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can read about You can read about his accounts in Acts and of those that followed him. And Christ is the Prince of Peace. He tells us how to live peacefully. He tells us how to get along with other people. He tells us we should care for other people. We should be compassionate for them and so forth. Let's go to John 14 and verse 27. That's how you become a peacemaker. John 14, verse 27. John 14 and verse 27. When I started studying this, I thought, well, I'll just talk about being a peacemaker. But you really can't be a peacemaker if you don't know how the peace, where it comes from, and what you have to do and live by the rules of God to be a peacemaker. You can't be a peacemaker. We see that in the world today. They don't follow God's laws, and so there's really no peace. It hasn't been through mankind's history for 6,000 years. There isn't peace because they don't know. They don't follow God's rules. John 14, verse 27 states, This is when Christ was at the end of his life, and he was right before he was going to be crucified. It says, "Peace I leave you," Christ said. "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So peace Jesus Christ left us. We have his truth. We have his understanding. He paid for the penalties of our sin. Christ left us with peace. His peace is following his example. That's how we are able to have peace. His way of life. Proverbs 15:1. Let's go to Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15, and verse 1, it says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." You can't be a peacemaker if we can't control our tongues. We say a soft answer helps to be a peacemaker, but if we use harsh words, we stir up anger, and the person we're trying to be a peacemaker for isn't peaceful at all. It makes them upset. It's how we respond affects if we're a peacemaker or not. I'll give you an example. If I say to my wife, "Oh, I love you, dear," she'd say, "Oh, that's nice." But if I said to her, using the same frame of mind, says, "I love you, dear," well, she wouldn't get that I love her at all. She'd think, "I hate her. All right, she did something wrong." So it's a reflection of your voices is how it affects whether or not. It's the same thing with that soft answer. Turns away wrath. But if you don't use a soft anger, it don't turn away wrath. It makes wrath. The person. So it's how we present ourselves to others. How we respond to people. That affects if you can be a peacemaker or not. So it really has an effect on the words that we speak and how we speak them. So let's go to the conclusion now. Let's go to Romans 12, verse 18. Romans 12, and verse 18. Romans 12 and verse 18. I read this before, but we'll read it in the conclusion here. It says, "If at possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." To be a peacemaker, you have to have peace in your life. And we only get that from God. God gives us a peace. We get it through obeying his laws and his commandments and letting his will be done in our lives. It all works together. We have to have peace that comes from him, and then we can be a peacemaker. In 2 Corinthians 13:11. And this is the conclusion of the book of 2 Corinthians that Paul wrote. Notice what he says. Paul's telling us what to do. "Finally, brethren, farewell." So he must have known perhaps here he was at the end of his life. "Become complete. Be of good comfort." Comfort to others and to yourself. "Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." So that sums it up real fine of what a peacemaker is. Become complete. Develop God's character. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Following his ways is what really is. Paul tells us what to do. Now let's go back to Matthew 5 and verse 9, where we started. Matthew 5 and verse 9. Each one of these points of the Beatitudes, I went through most of them. And we learned something. I learned a lot from each one about being poor in spirit, those who mourn, about the meek. Remember, I told you about Moses. And then I told you about hungering, thirsting after righteousness, more than that cup of cold water on a hot day when your thirst is burning up and you have nothing to drink and you're so dry. That's what you should do. You should hunger and thirst after that righteousness, his God's righteousness. And be merciful, as you want to be merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. I gave you some about that. And then we get to verse 9. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. And then he states, for they shall be called the sons of God. Sons of God, we all want to be that, don't we? We want to be God's sons and daughters. We all want that. Let's strive to develop the peace of God within us so that we can become peacemakers to this whole world.